Adios 2023, hello 2024.
You know, I saw this thing on the internet that said, did you die? ?2023. So, you know, we didn't die.
Wait, I saw something on the internet. I don't know if you saw it, but it was this meme of this kid going down this, like, slide at an amusement park.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like 2023. And like, did you make it to the other side?
But you made it to the bottom. You know, it was some bumps along the way. But we made it.
Happy New Year. This episode is dropping on January 1st, 2024.
We made it. I mean, hopefully we're not recording it on January 1st. So hopefully I'm on the land of the living on that day.
Tomorrow's not promised.
Tomorrow is every breath
but
is a blessing.
All things being equal.
We made it. Amen.
Can I just tell you something else about big age for me?
Tell me.
Years go by so quickly now.
I know.
Like, it's like, it was like 2 seconds ago, it was 2022.
Well, you know what it is? And I thought about this a lot. And this is why it was hard for me to no longer be in school. And you were on an academic calendar as a professor. You have these natural seasons and breaks and times when you're doing the thing and then you're not doing the thing. And so, like, your life just looks different. The routine and the patterns are different. So it makes the years feel longer. And then a school year, it's over two calendar years.
Right.
And now you just fucking go to work and pay bills and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to create those
Except
moments of
Sharon
joy.
Goes to Art Basel.
I go to Art Basel. and I look at art like this as my, you know, hands are behind my back. And
Is
I
that how you're supposed to look at
walk
art?
Walk around and just, Margot, obviously, as an art aficionado that I am now. A collector of I love all the arts. I love the strip club.
Any other?
Well, that was really the biggest thing that I've invested in 20.
You bought a pole?
I didn't know. I fell in love with a stripper in 2023, but we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. I only bought a print and an art book at Basel. And so, yes, this year has had many, many highlights.
Okay. Well, before we get to the episode, let's get to Dumb Shit Men Say.
Oh, this is
this
a good one.
This one's a good one. So this is not necessarily shit men say. This is shit a man did. There were a number of notable moments in Miami late Monday night, including Nazi imagery, a lyric referencing anti-Semitism, and West, Kanye West, donning a black Ku Klux Klansman hood. But one was his use of the Backstreet Boys' 1997 hit, Everybody.
Everybody.
So some background. Art Basel, Kanye West, a black Klansman hoodie.
So wait, was the hoodie was black? Not, okay.
But it looked like a Klan hood.
There was a dangling modifier there. Yes.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Okay. He sampled Everybody from Backstreet Boys' 1997 hit.
Backstreet's back. All right.
Him using Everybody is an interesting legal question because there were murmurs of copyright infringement, but actually there was nothing because the Backstreet Boys didn't rewrite that shit either.
Oh, that's so
and
funny.
There was some legalese, but basically he sampled the song without asking for permission.
Okay, gotcha.
The person who wrote it or the estate of the person who wrote it could have asked for permission, but they didn't. Anyway, he sampled the Backstreet Boys song. So, like, that's what we need to know. He sampled the Backstreet Boys song without asking them permission. Like, why does he still have a platform?
I think it's just Kanye being Kanye. Okay, here's the thing. Many of our listeners and our viewers, if you are watching us now, make sure you subscribe to our channel.
Follow, link, subscribe.
It's not link. Every time you get this wrong.
What is it?
You make us sound like the geriatric millennials that we are.
You guys. I don't know anything about the internet. I am learning project management on an app that's also on a web.
You are. You're doing so good.
No, I'm a work in progress.
Yeah, no, but I do want to say that all of the things that you're learning, it's been a lot in a short period of time. But you got
cover photo, thumbnail.
You have to follow. You have to like. No, you like. Don't link. You like, and then you subscribe.
Follow, like, subscribe.
Thank you, friend. So, y'all remember a lot of the just vitriol and the problematic behavior that was outlined in the New York Times article that then became a daily episode? If anybody listened to it or watched it, and the way that it outlined how long Adidas had been...
knew about his anti-Semitic...
and how he made just very open, horrific statements about Hitler in Germany. He drew a swastika on something in the that has been outlawed in Germany as a symbol because of the history of the Holocaust. Making the Adidas Associates watch porn in staff meetings. Like, they had to have a Kanye West team that people rotated on and off of. Because it was so taxing. Because
he was so problematic.
And he was so problematic. And the things that he was doing just weren't making sense to the point where he was at some point institutionalized. And so this is someone to me that a couple things are happening. Number one, I think the narcissism and the ego. I don't know if it can be separated from the mental illness. Right. But if it can, because that's a problem.
Because sometimes I think ego is part of some diseases.
Exactly. And then you have the mental health stuff. And then you have the internalized racism that shows up in these weird ways and the anti-Semitism. It's just why? Why? And who stands to profit? Because that's what the Adidas article and daily episode demonstrated, right? That he was not deplatformed. The contract was not rescinded, even though it could have been, because he was making Adidas so much money. And even after they fired him, still released shoes.
Under the
Yeezy brand.
The Yeezy brand.
Yeah. So for me, with all of these artists who are problematic, it's not just why are they still on a platform? George Santos, we talked about in a previous episode or in another episode, but also who gains when they are on a platform.
So we've also talked about this as it relates to P. Diddy.
Yeah.
Right. And with the allegations in the lawsuit that Cassie filed against him. And we, you know, a lot of people asked, understandably, like, how could the people around him have allowed this to happen? And what we see over and over is that capitalism trumps everything.
Everything. Every
and
time.
Until we change the orientation, until we profit by doing the right thing.
Girl, let me tell you something. So I was politicized under the belief that there is a material root to our oppression. So really, capitalism is at the root of all forms of oppression, right? It is an economic root to sexism, to homophobia, to transphobia, the patriarchy, obviously, racism, the accumulation of wealth has been at the hands of Black and brown people across the globe. And so until the economic system changes, all of those isms are going to exist. And I think people like Kanye West really demonstrate that, because there are millions and millions of dollars to be made. I don't know if he's still on a label, or was it an album listening party, or what he was even doing at Basel?
I think so.
Yeah. So.
But I recently read a book that you probably are not going to read, but the Britney Spears autobiography.
I'm going to read that.
And while on its face there might not be a lot of similarities between Britney and Kanye, there are quite a few. And this idea that an individual becomes a product, even if that product is damaged, and people trying to manipulate that product to do the thing to make the money and just to do it. Like, Britney, you know, was controlled way more than Kanye because she was the subject of a conservatorship. But, you know, deeply struggled in different ways. And it's hard to know which ways, because a lot of her treatment was imposed on her that she did not want. But Kanye, it seems like he's maybe not in treatment and should be. But no one really has any interest in doing that, because he's still making a lot of money for everyone.
Exactly.
And once he stops making money for people, that's when people will, I hypothesize, will grow concerned and get him treatment.
And I mean, it was what this article in the Daily Episode outlined was pretty significant. They were talking about him just making these really wild claims. And it was to the point where they called a doctor and called some friends. And when they went to his house in LA, he came to the door with like a bunch of pots and pans. And like, it was just stuff that clearly indicated this person was not in reality and this person was unwell. And I'm not saying obviously people can't get help and get treatment and come to the other side of it, but it doesn't seem like that is what has happened. And so if that same person still has this huge platform and has not made treatment a priority, or those around him have not, then we're going to continue to get things like this. And you talk about this often, Margo. It's not just about Kanye West. Kanye West can do what he wants, get help, not get help. It's about him having a platform this size and what that signals to other people, especially those who are very impressionable.
And who are young. Yeah. Right.
So, I don't know. I wasn't there. But where I was at the Lego installation that was sponsored by the Center for Creative Flow. And Swiss Beats may have blocked me. I think he was very close to calling security on me.
Why?
Well, because so this is what happened. They had an open bar. Everything starts there. After being there for about an hour, I thought it was a good idea to go up to him and tell him how many times I had seen his Architectural Digest. And it was a tour of his home. So one might argue that in some ways I signaled that I had been casing his home, but I have not. I don't know.
Wait, is like his home in LA or something?
It's
in
Malibu. It's beautiful. It's the art collection, the aesthetic. It feels like a museum, but also feels living at the same time. Mm-hmm. How you do that, I don't know. Obviously, there are a million.
A lot of designers.
Oh, my God. Million pianos, million floor-to-ceiling windows, of course. It is amazing, and I watch it when I need to go to a happy place.
Wait, it's not in print?
It was in print, and AD also, for their cover stories, they do videos.
So on their Instagram?
On their YouTube. So it's a pretty lengthy episode. So I watch it all the time. So I just happen to tell him that I know every corner of his house.
That's
it doesn't mean
not
I was
creepy.
It doesn't mean I was being weird. So that's what I was doing while Kanye West was being
anti-Semitic. Okay, well, you were clearly in the right party.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's New Year's. Let's assume we had a great New Year's Eve.
All right. We did.
And what are you saying goodbye to in 2023? Either with good riddance or with some hesitation?
Okay. Hesitation because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, but I'm going to just state it publicly because accountability is an order. And it is workaholism. And I have a 10-step wellness plan. I do very well with the plan. And on my 10-step wellness plan are some things that I started right away and did tremendously well with. And this month, not so good.
Like what? People are going to want to know, what are the steps?
Whew. Okay, I can't name all 10, but I'll tell you the ones that I've been struggling with. Stopping work at 7. Mm-hmm. Not working on the weekends. Making sure that I am moving my body at least 5 days a week, and drinking water. The things that I have been doing well that I'm proud of myself is creating from a place of abundance, mm-hmm. enjoying creating. So I want to continue to do that, and therapy. But it's the workaholism, and those indicators are around obviously me not working on the weekends and any work at 7. That I just want to be done with. I think it is time for me to heal beyond that, for me to develop an abundance mindset that says working all day and all night is not going to increase the bottom line, right? Nothing dramatic is going to change between the hours of 7 p.m. and 7 and 8 or 8 a.m. And the other thing too, Margo, is that I'm hesitant to admit this to people because they're going to say, you're crazy. This hurts all the time on me. And you want to know why?
From typing?
Yeah. And I know exactly where it comes from because I actually went to the doctor and it was like a tension thing. And they gave me like a thing to put on my wrist. And you know what I did? I just started using the other hand. And so now I rotate hands. And even as I do this, all of this hurts.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Out of love.
Yes.
So over the last year, you've needed bifocals because because
bitch, fuck you.
Because you're on your phone too much. And now you have arthritis because you're on your phone too much. You might need some adaptability things that make your work better functioning on your computer. I don't know what to tell you. That's ridiculous.
Speaking of which, can somebody give me my glasses?
Shara, that's very concerning.
That's why I didn't want to say anything.
I know. I just mean like, what are we going to do about that? And why, can I just say something, Meta? Like, why don't you like creatives post from the computer?
Yes.
I'm saying that in all seriousness. It's like all of these platforms prioritize posting from a phone.
Because it's the addictive nature of being on your phone versus a computer. Yeah.
Right. But it, like, people are still like consuming the content on their phone.
Yeah.
Why do they care how it's created?
Because they too want us to be sold things, right? So everything is about that ad space. Yes, friend. My health, my eyesight, my ability to use the opposable thumb that evolution brought us, that I don't want to take for granted. It has been difficult, and it is showing signs that it's not working. And so if insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, I have got to get off of the horse, the train, all the things. I made a decision that I'm not going to Fashion Week in February.
Good. That's huge.
Thank you, friend. So I'll stop there. I want to hear from you. What are you leaving behind?
I am leaving behind weakness.
Okay. Say more about that.
I felt both. 2023 was a really interesting, good year overall, but I felt at different times both physically and emotionally really weak, and I want to like switch that to a place of strength.
So is it that you were or that you perceived yourself?
Both. I mean, I was. Like, I had an injury in May that really knocked me. Then I had a surgery in June that was way more complicated than they expected, and the recovery was harder. And then I had two surgeries in October. So physically, really weak. And that, I think, like, you know, the cumulative effect of the last couple of years, like, this was my sixth surgery in 2 years, that I just kind of felt weak and lonely. Being on that hamster wheel again of like, oh, being like in recovery and weak and like not being able to. And I think it was hard and it's over. And I am excited to be approaching 2024 from a place of strength and excitement. And I'm very, very grateful for my health. And hopefully no more surgeries for the next foreseeable future.
So one of the other things that I am letting go of is underestimating or undervaluing my time.
Oof.
I have this bad habit that I think whatever I think of, not just can be achieved, because I think that's positive, but can be done like right now, right now, right now, right now. And that's just impossible, right? At the time that we're filming this, it is the middle of December. I said to myself I wanted to create 3 videos a week. And I don't know where I thought the additional time was going to come from, because I'm on every platform multiple times a week. And I have a consulting business and we have a podcast, right? And so just because I thought it, and I have the capacity to do it, doesn't mean I can do all the things all the time.
And you don't have to do it.
And I don't have to do it.
Says who? I think that's the hard thing about, and I think it's hard supporting, being a supportive friend to a creative.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of the expectations we place on ourselves are those that we place
on self-imposed.
And for good reason, but also not necessary.
At all. There is a financial implication to me having a high output on YouTube. There is not for me having it on Instagram, as you just mentioned. Meta can kick rocks. And the same thing is true to a certain degree on TikTok. And so what I am bringing forward then, right, if the inverse of this for me would be to say, I am going to privilege the platforms and the projects that are the most fulfilling and have the greatest financial incentive. And everything else, I'll get to it when I get to it. Because what I found is that it's more helpful for me to say what I'm not doing as someone who is a workaholic and an overachiever than saying what I am doing. Because my reflex and my impulse is just to do everything.
Mm-hmm. So I'm leaving that behind in 2023 too. I think that so I'm at a very different place with my consulting practice than you are. But I think there's this, when you start something new and you come from a place of scarcity, right? You, at least for me, I was very worried I wouldn't have enough work. So I just accepted everything.
I still do that. I know what you mean.
And then it's hard to balance like what's enough and what isn't, because what if it all goes away, right? Or you're not going to get work next month. So you're going to take this extra project. And this week I was up every day at 5 working because I had promised deliverables and we're taping and right. And I was like, how did I get here again? Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I left my old job.
I find that I'm a really bad boss to myself. At least when I was in a workplace outside of my own, it was certain kind of organizational tenets and culture and things that you have to abide by. I think when you work for yourself, it's really easy to get sucked into whatever insecurities or ideological and you know, paradigm hangups you have about mm-hmm. yourself. And then you become victim to those things in your career in ways that maybe you weren't before.
Absolutely. What are things from 2023 that you want to take with you?
Ooh, travel, but differently. But I had some really good trips this year. I went to Miami 3 times, and you know I love South Florida.
You went to Portugal.
I went to, no, that was in 2022. Oh,
that was October 20.
Yeah, exactly. But I went to Morocco. And that was actually a free trip, which was amazing.
You went to Greece?
I went to Greece for 2 freaking weeks. I went to Punta Cana, never been to the DR before. And that was for my grandmother's 80th birthday. So blessed to have her at 80 and my grandfather now at 82. So, yeah, I did some really good travel, but I did a lot of work travel and a lot of other smaller trips, which means that I was on a plane a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be a little bit more strategic about that next year.
And I think that also, I mean, I have guilt about that because a lot of your kind of work travel was related to the podcast, and that's brutal.
Yeah, but
we're getting
it, in sync in a way that I think is going
to
be good.
Figuring it out and figuring out how to stack events so you're not coming. We're not going for one singular thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll come. But the promise that I'm making myself is that I said quarterly, I think that's actually going to be hard, but I am treating myself to solo trips next year. So I didn't tell you. Did I tell you I booked a trip to Paris for myself?
No.
So I'm treating myself to a trip to Paris, and I'll be gone for, it's a short trip. I think it's like 4 days, maybe Amazing. 5 days. And it's just to like eat and go to spas and shop and, I don't know, frolic. Just do the thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. I'm also taking travel into 2024. Yes. I traveled a lot more in 2023 than I have in any recent history. I was in Mexico with my family, which was amazing. We took this like very cool road trip where we came to visit you and went to Philly and New York, New Haven and Boston, all by train, which was amazing. Went to Belize, less amazing. Went to Israel, which was incredible. And flew home through Italy solo.
Oh my God.
So I'm also taking travel. I don't know if you feel this way, but I really feel like a better version of myself when I'm traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Like way more open, way less rigid, way more present. And I think being in a new environment in a way that's unstructured, or even if it is structured, if it's for work. Oh, we went to Chicago for work. So just it is really empowering for me.
And I also feel proud of myself and like my ability to navigate without fear. Mm. Like I feel confident wherever I go. Like I feel that no matter what happens, I can find my way to safety. Even if safety might be an illusion in that moment, I feel that I have the skills, whatever's necessary. I'll hit a bitch with a two-piece, kick him in the throat. Whatever I got to do, like I can protect myself, but I also am at a space where resource-wise, got a smartphone, I got Uber.
And I think that travel, like a lot of things, particularly solo travel, which we don't talk about a lot, is practice.
Yeah, it really
is. And figuring out what works for you, how you want to live, like how you want to spend your days, what feels comfortable alone versus not alone. Okay, can I share another thing that I want to take into 2023?
Yes.
I mean, to take into 2024. So 2023 for me started in a very intense, I would say almost spiritual way. My dad, for those who were listening last year, know my dad had a near fatal accident at the end of 2022 in October 2022. And right around this time last year, December 19th of last year, he was released from the hospital after being there for 13 weeks and came to live with us for a month or so. And I entered 2023 like with such a clarity around what was important, and having him home and like being mostly okay and getting better and being really clear about what was important. And I think that clarity, not that it was lost throughout the year, but I think that, you know, life moves on. Bodies are strong. That's kind of something that has been reaffirmed to me both from my dad, from my girls, from myself, right? From you, from friends who've had health struggles over the last couple of years as well. But there was that, I sometimes think that I can, like Josh sometimes calls me negative Nargo. Where he'll be like, oh, the darkness is swooping in. And I think that seeing my dad get better and having him and my mom with us for a while made it really clear about what was important, and feeling that clarity was a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Like not feeling conflicted, not feeling like I wanted more plans or I should have bigger plans for New Year's or whatever. It just felt like, no, like this is amazing. And I think that there were moments that I lost that over the year. Mm. And I want to like get back to that clarity.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, there's something there too, I think, about appreciating life for just what it is. Like, it doesn't have to be these big grandiose gestures.
And like, a season can be one of travel and abundance, or it can be one of simplicity.
And that is so funny you should say that, friend, because that's one of the things that I want to call forward is simplicity.
What does that look like to you?
Ooh. You know, okay, do you remember that time I was wearing my lesbian outfit when I came here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you tell them what my lesbian outfit was?
She was wearing black pants with running shoes and a black marmot vest and a turtleneck.
More of that, please.
Well, you should just move to Boston.
I'm going to be Cotopaxi'd down, okay?
If you ever want us to be your sponsor, I have your fanny pack. I bought Tashira a fanny pack.
Yeah.
My girls have your backpack. I have your
weekend bag. Listen, okay, so recently I discovered this very small boutique store called REI. You probably never heard of it. Marco, did you know clothes could be comfortable? I'm wearing, for people who are listening, 6-inch stiletto pointed toe silver boots.
What if you become an activewear content creator?
Girl, listen, don't tempt me with a good time, because these shoes hurt my feet and I'm sitting down. And I think that there is a simplicity that I can call forward that starts with just how I adorn myself. Just cozy. On Monday, I was like, you know what? I could actually like put on a full look and like beat my face, or I could just put on my Marmot vest and my Adidas tracksuit, some Sambas, and go get my nails done.
People are going to think you've gone out of your mind.
I just need these moments I beg, sure. I beg, Margot. Get, I need
this.
It's
in stark contrast to what we see on the interwebs.
Okay,
friend.
This is what it is. I'm just saying that I am realizing that there's something about comfort.
Oh yeah.
That I have been missing for a very long time, and I just want to just welcome the simplicity of comfort in all the ways into my life.
Okay. Yeah, I love that for you.
That's thank you, friend.
I want that for me too. But I feel like I embody that maybe a little bit more.
So the idea of comfort, right?
And simplicity. I've like really am trying really hard to declutter my spaces. So I've been reading a lot about how your space reflects your mind.
Yeah.
And I know I've shared with you that I constantly, not constantly, but frequently I feel like my mind is like, blah, 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 blah. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. You've got to call this person. You've got to like do this. Like, and I'm always behind and I'm always like, not always distracted, but like always feeling like I'm falling short or I haven't done something. And I've been reading that, you know, not that you can, I mean, there's a lot you need to do to not feel that way. But like one of the things you can do to help yourself is create spaces that make you feel a certain way.
Mm.
And so I get very overwhelmed by a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of, I mean, I have a lot of stuff in my house because I have three children, but like I try very hard not to have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I recently did that with my office and it feels so good to go in there. That probably is like where a lot also of my clarity around my wellness is coming from because I took the time to reimagine, redesign my entire space where I tend to get the most work done.
I bet it also helps with creativity.
Absolutely. 150%. And I've been feeling my most creative in a very long time, which I'm grateful for.
That's incredible. Okay. So, Tashara, when you think about 2024 and goals or changes you want to make, we've heard that you want to kind of keep working on your wellness plan, bringing in more of the comfort that you felt in that marmot vest and samba shoes. But what changes?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked a little bit about giving up workaholism, but I mean, like, if are there concrete things that you are striving for in 2024?
Okay, so one of them is to develop a project that I own that is not platform contingent or related. I have been talking for a long time, Margot, about what it would look like to host like styling webinars or classes or teach people how to develop a capsule wardrobe and to write an ebook and have different resources around that. And so I just want to get through this period of like hyper creation around YouTube and Vlogmas so that the first quarter of the year I can really work on developing and launching that. So that will be a project and hopefully a stream of income that I can pour all of my creativity into and not feel this kind of overwhelm because it is dependent upon an algorithm.
Mm.
That's 100% mine. And I think in that, that gets me to goal number two, which is to simply prioritize my work and to stop giving everything the same level of significance and importance because increasingly, creatives online are becoming multi-platform. And as you said, we don't have to do this. We're choosing to. But there are fewer people who are just YouTubers or who are just on Instagram or who are just on TikTok. People have developed a presence everywhere. And while I can be multi-platform, I really want to focus the most on the things that feed my soul.
Mm.
And again, as I said earlier, saying what I'm not going to focus on is even more helpful for me than saying what I am.
I love that.
Yeah. What about you?
So for me, I want to run a half marathon.
Ooh, yes.
So that is a goal in 2024 physically. I think personally, I want to continue having some really special family time with my kids. It's a big year for all of them, and I just want to be really there for all of it.
Yeah.
And for my husband as well. Professionally, I also have a creative project that I'm working on that is a online course that I hope to get up and running in 2024. Yes. I want to do a better job of blocking my time So I'm not working at all things at all times.
Yeah.
I have the podcast. I have my consulting company. I do trainings. I have a 10-hour contract a week with one organization, a 5-hour contract a week with another. And I, you know, many people do this. I want to figure out a better way to have a better handle on my schedule.
And as you said, many people do it, and it sounds like we're struggling kind of in the same way. So if you all are solopreneurs, if you're consultants, if you have to manage multiple pieces of work, what tools have you found to be helpful? Leave us a comment and let us know.
Yeah, thank you. And for the podcast, I want to plan our retreat and do our retreat. We're going to have a live taping tour.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, New York, DC, Baltimore, Philly,
yep.
Chicago.
You got it.
So coming to you in 2024, I can't wait to see that happen. I think I also want to figure out, and I wonder if this resonates with you, figure out and learn to ask for help.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about your opposable thumb, is there a version where you do your creating and then someone else does your posting?
There is. There is. There absolutely is.
And so we don't need to fuck up your fingers anymore?
Yeah, there is.
I don't know, just stuff like that, that, you know, and I don't know, maybe there isn't, right?
No, there 100%
right?
Is.
Yeah. But I feel like sometimes we, meaning me, like, see an issue in our lives and just think that that's the way it is, but it doesn't have to be that way
at all. And I've been doing this for so long until I've forgotten what it feels like to not do it. So thank you for that reminder. Yeah, it's 2024 shall be the year of working smarter and not harder in all ways. So it's up, friend. Cheers to the new year.
So wait, one word for 2024.
Mine is heal.
Oh, that was my word.
You lying.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. Ah! Cheers. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Justice. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to learn more about our podcast, be sure to check us out on our website at justicepodcast.com. You can also reach out to us there if you want to be featured on the show or if you have a business or a product that you think would be a good fit for our audience. Thanks again for listening.